If there is any question related to the subject.
Can you discuss the issue of the mother in the home leaving for life and she has small boys that are her children? When and also how does she stand with 84 years old, 85, when she avoids that being the mother?
And as you said, first of all, it is not considered a prayer from 3-4 years old, unless maybe some of the children in age of 3-4 years, but this may be 1 in 1 million. Now older, if he distinguishes the good and bad, and he knows how to answer and respond, he is the one who calls Adhan, he is the one who leads the prayer. Not the mother. And then the mother, if there are 3 boys and 2 girls and the mother. As Ibn Abbas said, first the imam, one of them, one of the boys, the oldest one, or the one who has more boys, then the mother, then the girls. Yeah. This is the order of the prayer.
The girls stand behind the mother.
Behind the mother. Because for 2 things, she is a female like her mother, but her mother is mature adult, but the girl is not. Praying all together. Yeah. No, not one soft. Even if they are young, we don't have this, you know, free mixing.
Mother
and only girls is different. I say, if we have 3 boys, 2 girls, and the mother. So one of the boys will be the imam, 2 boys behind him, the mother behind the two boys, and the 2 girls behind the mother. Or along with the mother.
Are you saying that a mother can't leave a 3-year-old child or 2-year-old child?
Yes. A three years? No. One second, please listen. I said 3 years old has no prayer. They don't know what is prayer. And I said maybe one every 1 million child can be so knowledgeable. You cannot find a 3 years old knows what is the prayer. But when it is 6 years old, 7 years old, he is the one who must call the Adhan, lead the prayer, even his mother is one of the.
His question was, can the mother lead the 3-year-old in prayer? That's what his question was. He said, can the mother lead the 3-year-old
and 4-year-old
in prayer?
Okay. And I swear by Allah, I understood his question. But I wanted to give him more answer than his question, as Rasulullah ﷺ did when a man came and asked him, can we use the seawater for wudu if we are sailing? Rasulullah ﷺ said, the sea, the pure water, and the dead animal of the sea can be eaten. The man didn't ask about the dead animal. But because whoever is asking about using water for wudu, it means that he's sailing for long. So he will need for food. And then he will ask later on about the dead animal of the sea. Same as when the man came asking Rasulullah ﷺ about what the muhrim can wear. The Prophet ﷺ did not tell him what he can wear. He told him what he cannot wear. What he cannot wear. So now I told him, 3 years old, usually they don't understand Salah. They don't understand Salah. And that's why we don't even tell them to pray. The Prophet ﷺ said, Muru abna'akum al-salat al-salat. You command your children to pray when they are 7. This does not mean it is obligatory upon them. Just to make them familiar with it. because the prayer is only obligatory in 15 years old, in the age of 15. But we treat them and train them of the prayer from 7 years. Less than 7 years, they don't understand what is prayer. And that's why Rasulullah used to carry Umama when he was reading the prayer. Umama, his granddaughter. He did not make her pray behind him. He just carrying her. And when he one day was praying, Al-Hasan came, who was about 3-4 years old, came and ride over his back. He did not blame him after Salah and say, you have to pray. He did not say that. He just made him to enjoy playing until he finished. So that's why I said to him, in this age, you cannot find one who can pray or understand what is prayer, except maybe one in 1 million. If I would go so easy, otherwise I would say one in 1 trillion child. Their age, their brain is not yet ready. So in the house, if the mother with a 3-year-old boy, she is praying for herself. It is not a jama'ah, it's not considered a jama'ah. Even if the boy pray beside her, behind her, in front of her, it's not a jama'ah. It's not, she is praying alone now. Now. Is that clear? Alhamdulillah. Ya Rasul. Inshallah. No, that's what I also said in the middle of the khutbah. I said, there is a wrong understanding that the imam should go front even 1 inch. This is wrong. He should be pair to the one next to him. If there are two brothers, and the imam and ma'moom only, they should stand per same level, same level. Huh? Yes. Second. Well, I raise your voice, you can see. Beat him up. I said that. I could not hear. How could you? He's whispering. He said that. I said the prayer is only obligatory on 15. So what about the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he says, beat them on 10. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, beat them on 10. If 3 years did not make them like Salah, command them on 7. Command your children to pray when they are 7 years old. Right? This is the hadith. And beat them for it when they are at 10, right? Because when the child for 3 years train, and still he does not like it, this means this boy has something wrong. And beat them is just beat, you know, it's not beat to punish, just to make him know that this is wrong, you have to pray. We know that a man who doesn't pray, you take this hadith with him, beat him. What is the hadith then? What do you do with a man who doesn't pray? A 60 years old man, or multiply the 10 by 10, 100 years old man doesn't pray. Why? He hasn't prayed. What do you do with him? The ulama say he must be warned he must be locked out 3 days. Warned. If he doesn't pray, he would be killed. 10 years old, if he refused to pray, you cannot kill him. So it means it is only obligatory in the age of maturity. All the worships, only obligatory on the age of maturity. Meaning, at that age, Allah Ta'ala will punish them if they don't pray when they are 15 and above. But below 15, no punishment. If the one who is 14 years old die without praying, he is not going to go to the hell. What is the difference, boys and girls? No. We said maturity. Maturity can be with age or with size. Even boy, not necessarily 15. When the armpit hair and pubic hair grows, that's called maturity, boy or girl. When the girl has menses, this is maturity. No. Right. Next question. Okay, we come to the asal. We come to the asal. Your traveler coming from Tabuk going to Jizan. So it is 700 kilometers coming down, you reach Jeddah. And you are continuing to another 700 kilometers. So, no doubt you are still a traveler. But you stop at a gas station in Jeddah and you find people praying. What do you expect? The Imam is what? Traveler? No one will expect the Imam is traveler. One second. He is a resident, correct? Now, if you are traveling from here to Medina or to, from here to Yamba or Rabagh, from here to Rabagh, which is 150 kilometers, right? And after you left Jeddah, you called the prayer there in a gas station. This gas station is only a gas station on the traveler's way. Normally, it is traveler mosque. Traveler mosque, usually the imam is a traveler. So then you pray behind the imam as a traveler. But here you need to do your ijtihad. Me as a Saudi, or many of you as residents, and you travel a lot, we all know that most of these gas stations on the way of travelers, they have regular imams who are residents in those areas. They are given accommodation, they are living there. So if you come to the first prayer, the Jama'ah Ula, you have to know that this imam is not a traveler. This imam is not a traveler. And most of the gas stations on the traveler ways or roads in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, most of the gas stations on the traveling ways, these have imams who are employed as an imam and he is living in that place. So he's not a traveler. But if it happens that a Hajji, someone who comes to Saudi Arabia, doesn't know anything about Saudi Arabia, and he saw this masjid in the desert, no houses, of course he will expect that this is a traveler mosque and the imam is a traveler. Then he will deal with it. So it needs the person's judgment. Now, Safwan. Say again, the imam has two ma'moom. One side of the imam?
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
Yeah, they have to, unless if there is a need for it. For example, there is no space, that's a different thing. The woman? Oh, the woman imam must be in the middle of the row. One to the right, one to the left. No. When we say filling, if we have three ma'moom women and one woman imam, so two to the right, one to the left. few to the right, one to the left. And then, like that. Another one. Two. Okay. Yani the Imam and two others. Okay. You mean you come and found Jama'ah finished? Two people praying. One Imam, one Ma'mum. No, no, no. You pull the Ma'mum and pray with together with him behind. How can I know which one is the Ma'mum? Huh? The right side one. Nah, Abraham. Well, this is a good question. You know that there is one hadith about the praying, the individual praying alone, the person praying individually behind the row. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا صلاة لمنفرد خلف الصف. There is no prayer counted for one who prayed individually alone behind the row. The ulama have different opinions in explaining this hadith. Some of the ulama say this would be for the one who can't join the row, but he decided to pray behind. Or he came just before the imam goes for ruku' and he says, if I go to the end of the row, I will miss the ruku'. So he begins here. They say this one and the one before him is the one meant in the hadith, so salah is not correct. And they said, this one group ulama said, but if he comes and found that the saf, the row is all full, then they say he does his ijtihad. If he knows that some people coming, he should then, and then this ulama got different opinion. They said he should then wait at the back, should not pull anybody, should not come beside the imam. But they went on two different again opinions. Some of them said he can start his salah because this is his best, even if he knows some people coming. Some and the others said no, he should not pull nobody, he should not go to the imam if he knows that someone is coming or expect someone is coming, but he should wait. Does not start the salah. The proper opinion is, when the person comes to the masjid, finds the last row, whether it is the first in this masjid or the second, third, full, from the end to the end, and he is expecting someone to come, then he should not pull no one, he should not go to the right side of the imam, but he should join the prayer there, even if he's alone. Because this is his best, and Allah Ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. إلا وسعها. Allah Ta'ala. Here, a question from the sister. Is it allowed for a woman to uncover in front of the male slave? If you find the male slave, then yes. And if you find a male slave, that means there is a female slave. Please tell me where. Okay. These, the ulama say these are the if questions. If, huh? These questions, most of the ulama do not give answer to. They say, let it until it happens, and then, and as I said, if you find a male slave, then yes, uncover your face before him, and that means, as I said, there must be a female slave. You either guide your husband or you guide me too. Huh? Okay, then if she doesn't guide her husband, at least guide her sheikh too. Although even my wife does not accept even the slave. Huh? None of them accept. When women pray together, can we call adhan and iqama? Yes, as I said in the khutbah, yes, you can call. It is not obligatory upon women. It is obligatory upon men. But upon women, no. It is optional, but yes, you are allowed to call the adhan and iqama. And here is one important thing about the women. It is not sunnah to hold a jama'ah of women for every prayer. And some women say, okay, let us gather together and pray jama'ah. And for example, they say, okay, in the west or here, we're far from the masjid, say, khalas, we gather all in one house for dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha. And we say, no, this is not sunnah. This is in fact bid'ah. Because at the time of Rasulullah, the female companions did not do it. Maybe once, if it happens that they gather for any reason, yes. And if there is a talk, or if there is a party or something like that, and the prayer time comes, no problem to pray in jama'ah together. Here another question from the sister says, I have here the adhan of the main masjid in Riyadh. Okay. Imam Masjid, Imam Turki. Right. It seems very... Inshallah. Seems what? يعني لا طويل. Well, some of the ulama prefer the adhan of the mosque of Imam Turki Ibn Abdullah in Riyadh. But now let me just ask one question. Which adhan you mean? This masjid used to have one adhan. Nowadays there are some singers there. Yeah, the new ones are really, I don't know how they accept them. But it is, the old adhan, the old man's adhan, is fine, but as Imam Albani said, it is the best adhan, but there is one mistake. He says, Allahu Akbar, each one separately, while in the hadith it must be two together. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But he is doing Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, separately. This is the only thing that I hear Imam Albani rahimahullah say about this. Otherwise, this is the best adhan because no musical scale, no beautifying, normal and loud. Normal and loud. That is the adhan. But if you mean the new recent adhan, I don't like it at all. No. Ibn Mas'ud? No, Ibn Mas'ud, he is a salam like his recitation. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Now another hadith authority from Hebrew servants who suffered from a system in the leader. They stayed with him for some time. When they left to go back to their village, he said, if you go back to your village, one of you call the call, one of you leads the prayer. He said, there's an older one amongst you leads the call. So it seems that the prophet's presence was the Islam is the older, not necessarily the one who has the
best
call.
Exactly.
And I asked that question because you've indicated that the child, 6-year-old child, made a prayer. And it would give a perception that calling a prayer or if I take the time is the criteria, but that doesn't seem to be the criteria.
No, it is the criteria. But these people, first of all, these people were new Muslims. So none of them, they are very equal in the Quran. They just embrace Islam and stay a couple of days. They have the same amount of Quran, and that's why he said, the older one of you, lead the prayer. In the hadith, we began the khutbah with, the Prophet ﷺ says clearly, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, who leads the prayer is the one who has more Quran. Then if they are equal in the Quran, then the one who knows more Sunnah. Then when they are equal in the Quran and the Sunnah, then the one who had migrated first. Then if they all together in these things, same, then the one who is older. Like that. The criteria goes like that. But it's not the recitation of Quran as recitation of Quran. But it is who memorizes more. As well as when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had the martyrs in the battle of Uhud, he buried number of them together in one grave, because there were 70. And he used to ask, who has more Quran? They say so and so. He put him first to the Qibla, as an imam, as when they stand in the Salah. He puts the one who has more Quran, the first. Then the one who has lesser Quran but more than the other, the second. Like this.
Okay. So how would you know that today when you walk into a place? How would you know that?
Yeah, okay. This is, if it is known. If it is known. But if it is not, I mean, you do your best, you know. Sometimes, believe me, I be in a masjid and the prayer is finished in a second jama'ah. Then I see one who I expect him, mashallah, yani Shaykh and reciter, and I let him lead the prayer. I get very annoyed in my prayer. Many mistakes, changing the meaning. And it is like if he never ever said to anybody to recite Quran. But what can you do? You are in the middle of the salah. You know? But as you said, yeah, today it is difficult. Unless if we are together, we know each other. Then that is easy. But when it is in some place where you don't know the people and they don't know each other, then you look, yani, the closest one. Usually the one who has beard, please lead the prayer. That's what we did. I saw a man longer beard than mine. As Abu Hanifa did. Abu Hanifa one day was sitting with his students and he has knee problem, so he extended his knees like that. So the students were surrounding and he was teaching them. When a man came into the masjid, Abu Hanifa expected him a greater alim than him. So he folded his legs. Although there were pain, but he folded them. And the man sat quiet. Abu Hanifa remained folding his legs. In a while, Abu Hanifa was teaching them about issues, as I remember in Ramadan, and he was telling about the clouds, if the sun is seen, if it is not seen. Then the man said, what if the sun never comes up? He said, it's the time when Abu Hanifa extends his legs. Because he looks a alim, but he never knows anything. You know? That's a problem today. That's a problem. Real problem today. Naam, Sallallahu.
About and
Which one? I don't know. Which I mentioned? Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Yeah. He's not a Sahabi, no, he's not. No, he's not a Sahabi. He's a Tabi. Yeah, he's a Tabi. Yeah. No, no, no. The fasiq is a disobedient. That is a fasiq. Openly, hiddenly is a fasiq. And meaning, the meaning of fasiq, fasiq is taken from the word fasaqa. Fasaqa, when the butterfly comes off the, what do you call that, the what? The cocoon, yeah. They say fasaqat, means it, opened it and it came out. Not as usual. Usually it was inside. Now it is. That's the meaning of fasaqa. Whoever goes out of the way, he is fasaqa. Now, so this one who commits a sin, he's fasaq. But some fish is hidden. And what is hidden, we don't talk about. But what is apparently and seen, and it's done very openly, then this person must not need the prayer. Must not need the prayer. Because he shows the disrespect. The disobedience can happen due to the weakness of Imam. Right? But when the person exposes it, then he does not even respect Allah. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said in the other hadith. المجاهرون سبحان الله, I forget the hadith about the مجاهرون who do the fisk openly. The Prophet ﷺ said about them that, I forget what he said, either that Allah Ta'ala won't forgive them or they are going to have a severe punishment for that they do whatever fisk they do openly. Now, the others. No. They don't need, because as we said at the end of the khutbah, the fasiq is not a kafir. And his salah is sahih. His salah for himself is okay. If he prays as per the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is not preferable, because this is very high position. We should not put the lowest of us in this position. And when we say lowest, we, as mentioned before, it's not because of the tribe, the wealth, the color, slave or free or not, but it is about the honor. The honor. If he is the lesser honorable man, we should not put him. Should not put him. Yes, of course. Who's the fasiq if the one who shares is not fasiq? Of course, yeah. Yeah. Who cheats in his job. Yeah. First of all, this one is a cheater, and the second thing is that he's eating haram. And who cheats in job, how can I trust him if he does not cheat in his salah? No. What is the difference between Ahlul Hadith and the Zahiriyya as well as the Madhabiyya? أهل الحديث understand each hadith all together with the other understanding of the other hadith. It's not separately. Zahiriya takes one hadith and that's it. خلاص. With what the apparent meaning of it. Without يعني going back to the other hadith which is about the same subject. Okay. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, كم من تال للقرآن والقرآن يلعنه. There are going to be many people who recite the Quran, but the Quran curses them. Why? Because they recite the Quran, but they don't act upon it. They don't go upon the guidance of the Quran. So what is the benefit? And I remember here, something happened to me. I was in a masjid. I came to a masjid to give a talk. It was in Ramadan and about Umrah. When I came to the masjid, I saw the imam. It's here, okay? And here in the airport, one of the work praying areas. The imam, somebody has a PhD in engineering. He's wearing complete European suit, Western suit, necktie, long trousers, right? And he is the one teaching people Quran after Salah. He gathers them and teaches them Quran. So before the Salah, I came close to him in the row and spoke, whispered to him, كيف حالك, Jazakallah khair, this. Excuse me if you don't mind. I did not talk to him about the necktie, which is worse, but I said I began with the easier. I said to him, your pants, your trousers are too long. And instead of saying thank you, Jazakallah khair, I'm weak, I cannot leave this desire whatsoever, excuse me, silly or what, he started looking at me and he said, loudly now, I whispered to him, but he spoke very loudly now, shouting, do you memorize Quran? I memorize Quran. Do you memorize Quran? I said, okay, it's not a matter of memorizing Quran. It's a matter of implementing the Quran. If you don't implement the Quran, what's the benefit of memorizing the Quran? You think Iblis, Shaitan, doesn't memorize Quran? Believe me, memorize it all. Because how is going to misguide us? He knows it all, but what's the benefit? What's the benefit? If you don't act upon the guidance of Quran, then there is no benefit to memorize the Quran. It's going to be a proof against you. And he continued his arrogance when I stood to give the dars after the salah, and he started looking for anything that he thinks is a mistake. So I was explaining, then I said, when a person finishes the tawaf, he does the turaka behind the maqam, he recites Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Surah Al-Ikhlas, and then second rak'ah Surah he recites Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Kafirun, and in the second rak'ah Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas. He said, Ikhlas first. I said, and there is another hadith, Ikhlas first, and Kafirun second. And I meant it. I did not just say it like that, because most of the people think it's obligatory to recite Ikhlas first and then Kafirun. But it is not correct. Sorry, the Kafirun first and then Ikhlas. But it is not correct. As Sheikh Albani authenticated the hadith of both. And then his another friend who said, he said that he has a degree in Sharia. He's an engineer, but he said he has a degree in Sharia. He is having very, very small beard, almost shaving it. And then I spoke about after Safa and Marwa, people cut some hair from here, and I said that the ulama say this is not correct. You have to, if you want to have haircut, you have haircut from all around the head. The man from there, he wanted to support his friend. He said, excuse me, Imam Shafi'i said you can't take from here. I said, well, Jazakallah khair, but this is Imam Shafi'i. We have three other Imams that are different. Why should Shafi'i be more better than the three other Imams? Oh, no, 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 no. If you don't know, you don't talk. I said, okay, jazakallah khair. I said what I said. If you want to take it, take it. If you don't, shave your beard instead of cutting your hair. That's what I do. So, and sometimes, these people who say that they memorize Quran, you see, and you can't see the Quran on their faces. How many scholars today in the Muslim world, they're clean chef. And they always, believe me, they visited the chair of the barber more than the actors. Wallahi. I never ever see any small piece of hair growing. And I doubt if it is maybe a sickness. Maybe skin sickness that why the hair doesn't grow on their faces. But they always clean shave it. So this is, what can you do? He does not show the Quran, the Sunnah on his appearance, on his speech, on this and that, That's a bad character. Allah is that. The man. As I said before, different opinions of the scholars. Some of them say, as the Adhan is the declaration of the interest of the time of the prayer, it's already done. But honestly, I found the Ahadith supporting the opinion of the others who say it is obligatory. Because when Rasulullah ﷺ missed the time of Fajr, he told someone of the Sahaba to stay awake when they were on a journey, and in the Fajr time he awaked them. But the Sahabi fell asleep and slept. Only the heat of the sun made them awake. So it means that they are very late, maybe today time, maybe 9 o'clock, something like that. So he called Bilal and told him to call the Adhan. And then he called Bilal and told him to call the Iqama, and then he led the prayer. So this means that we'll have to call the Adhan and Iqama. But who does pray without Adhan and Iqama, the Salah is Sahih. The Salah is Sahih. It does not relate to the Salah itself. Salah is Sahih, but he missed something very important. نعم. ها؟ تجيبون لنا ولا تخلق. ها؟ ايش؟ لا ميلكو؟ ايش سوي تخلق بسرعة. Sorry. Even in the masjid, I don't see why it is different to call the Adhan in the masjid or outside the masjid. But honestly, with the hadith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when the Prophet ﷺ said, who gives sadaqah to this man, there is no any mention of Adhan or Iqama. But this cannot be a proof because there is no mention at all. He did or he didn't, it does not say. Then we go back to the original situation of it, which says that the men will have to call the Adhan and Iqama. Nah. But again, if anyone prays without Adhan and Iqama, the Salah is Sahih. Salah is Sahih. Yeah. Okay. Right. Now, If you come to the masjid and you are alone, you miss the prayer, you come and you are alone, would you call the Iqama?
I would call the Iqama.
Why?
Because there may be someone else in the group that may pray with me.
No, you're saying you're alone.
If I'm alone, when I call the Iqama, so someone in the masjid will be calling the Iqama, maybe someone is calling
me. So you're going to call the Iqama loud?
I'm going to call the Iqama loud so other people in the masjid can hear me. Maybe like you said, where the, someone said, well, this brother started a prayer, they can go on not to Muslim, maybe someone is calling
No, I was going to ask you, where's the dalil for that? To call the Iqama loud in the masjid.
Loud, but audible, but not just to myself, not loud, I was screaming, but audible, where other people may hear you. Someone knows this person, you pray to Allah.
Well, with all respect to what you say, but I never found any dalil for that, and I never found any of the ulama say that you call the Iqama in the masjid loud enough to make the people hear you, so if anyone did not pray will come and join you. I did not come across that. If there is any, I'd appreciate to know this. But why would I say we call the Adhan and Iqama? Because there is no any dalil to say call the Iqama alone. So we'll turn the matter back to the original case of it, which is Adhan and Iqama. Otherwise, we say no Adhan, no Iqama.
Yes. Whatever reason I'm late in that message, whether I was sleeping, whether I was busy, or whatever, why would I not? The Adhan has been called. You've heard of the Adhan, you know the Adhan has been called. So why would we not call and come and say, Allah, if you were the second group of the masjid, or the third group of the masjid, or the fourth group of the masjid?
Yeah.
Why would we not call to come and say, Adhan was called? For example, in the hospital, some people are praying in this room, some people are praying in this room, some people are praying in this room.
The question I made is very clear. This is a worship. This has existed at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is the dalil that to call the Iqama if you miss the prayer in a masjid? That man who came and prayed alone, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who can make sadaqah to this? There is no dalil says that he called the Iqama. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know that this man is making or praying the fard that he missed. There is no dalil, it doesn't mention that. There is no first, there is no dalil. Second, there is no any saying of the ulama to my knowledge, which is limited. And that's what I say. If there is any dalil or any saying, any statement of the ulama pre to us, then I would take it. Because as Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, this religion is not measured by internet, but it is by what been transmitted from the Salaf, from Sahaba, Tabi'een, and like that. As long as there is a possibility for such thing to happen in their time. Today, there is a possibility someone misses the prayer in the masjid. The first jama'ah, and then he comes for second jama'ah. Is there any possibility that somebody misses the prayer in this masjid? And come after the prayer? Is there? Okay. Was this possibility there during the time of Sahaba or not? Okay, now we need to go and deal with it same way they did. If they said they called only Iqama, then we take only Iqama. If they said they called Adhan and Iqama, we'll call Adhan and Iqama. If they did not mention, then we go to the original case of it, which is Adhan and Iqama.
But they didn't call Adhan and Iqama again.
Correct.
They never mentioned it.
Excellent.
Yeah. They prayed with the Prophet himself, and in case you mentioned where the brother came late,
no.
The Prophet asked someone to pray with him, but there was no mention of a second.
science. That's what I said to you. I'd rather say, if I will cancel one, I'd rather say cancel two, both of them. No, but no, wait, it's not finished. But I'm saying, if I will cancel, I will cancel both, not only the Adhan. But that particular hadith, which is the only hadith mentioned someone who came late to the masjid, did not mention this or that. So it is not a proof for the ones who say Adhan and Iqamah, neither it is a proof for the one who say only Iqamah. So it is not good to be used as a proof for either one. So it is not mentioned there. Then we will have to return the situation back to the original case where the Prophet ﷺ told to call the Adhan and Iqamah. And this is what happened to him when he missed the prayer and the journey. And this is what happened to in all cases. So in all cases there was always Adhan and Iqamah. There was no any single case Iqamah alone.
But he was only praying in a group. He called the Iqamah. He wasn't praying as an individual. He had a group to come out with him. So he called Adhan and Iqamah because he was a group. If it didn't know what that called, they woke up late.
So
you change that, now you go to the masjid.
No.
When the one individual that you made reference to was praying, they had already been in a bad call in that masjid. They had already been in your mind. They had already been in prayer. So there was no one there in the Noah call that
excellent.
But it had already been in a bad call.
Excellent. Now, what is the Adhan assigned for? Why? What is the purpose of it?
To declare
the entrance of the time. Okay. And that's why we have to do it at the beginning of the time. Right? In the masjid, we have to raise the Adhan once the time of this prayer is entered. Right? So it is only for the purpose of declaration, the Adhan, of the time of the entrance of this prayer. Right? Now, when the sun rises until the heat makes them to awake, this would be around 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, the time of prayer is finished. What for they call that time? It's not for the time entering. For a second, they are not in a city who all slept, so they called them. They all one group traveling together. It is enough that the Prophet ﷺ called them, Yalla Ikhwan, get ready for prayer. But he did not do that. He told Bilal to call the Adhan because this is a worship. Itself is a worship. The Adhan is a worship. And that's why he told. Now, as the hadith you said, the two men, the shibas, who came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he told them, when the time of Salah enters, one of you called the Adhan, and the other, and then called the Iqamah, and the other lead the prayer. There are two men in the desert during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, where Islam is very limited, expanded, and they came from a place where no Muslims, and they are in the desert. So what for they called the Adhan? Declare to who? Call who? May inform who?
No.
The other hadith, the two shepherds who came to Rasulullah ﷺ. And there is another hadith. One single shepherd came to him. And he said to him, when you are amongst your sheep, is he following the sheep? Is he raising the Adhan for the sheep to come for Salah? He's alone in the desert with his sheep. He says, raise the Adhan. Raise the Iqamah and pray.
I agree, because no Adhan has been called. Even those cases, there was no previous Adhan. If you pray for the Prophet, the Sahaba, the Sahaba, the Sahaba, there has been no call. Israel were travelers in the desert, there had been no law. The case when he told the individual, there had been no law. They also come up with some bed. If whoever called his dad, every creature that hears that call is testified on your Yom Kippur. I understand. No Adan had been called. But in the case of the Masjid, there had been an Adan call. Alright, so there was no need for the person to call a second Adan because of the Adan had called announcement. So listen, I see these as different. I don't see that if an Adan had been called, then someone should call a second Adan. There's no hadith to show that the Adan had been called and a second Adan was required by Prophet Muhammad.
And there is no hadith to show the Iqam is called.
And that's correct, so I would stop calling the Iqam.
So you would stop calling the Iqam.
I would never call a second Adan when I hear an Adan call. If I'm late for prayer, I'm making. But I see no hadith to that.
Okay. Now you will stop calling the Iqam. From now on, you will not do it.
No, I won't do it unless I find an evidence for it. If I find an evidence for it, it's important, I'll do it.
On what basis you used to say call the Iqam?
Because I see the people you're doing.
Is this the way you take your religion from?
Sometimes.
Okay, anyway, I'm not going to stop calling the Adhan if I miss the prayer. Because I still have the evidence for the origin of calling the Adhan. And there is nothing to abrogate it. There is nothing to abrogate it.
There's nothing to support it.
There is.
The three instances, the four instances that we mentioned, the Prophet over himself, there had been no Adhan called, he ordered in the land.
But let me just ask you one question. Is this your opinion or a scholar?
I'm looking at the
government.
I'm looking
Malish.
No,
but as I recited the ayah at the end of the first khutbah to you, where Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ and follows the way of other than the believers, meaning the scholars. Because it is wrong for the individuals to go on their own understandings or opinions. No, it is not correct. We have to understand the religion the way the scholars from amongst the time of Sahaba and on until our time.
You're back to
the same point. I'm saying to you, if there is no hadith, then we will have, to my understanding, with all respect to you, we will have to go back to the original. But besides that, there are scholars from the Salaf who say you call the Adhan and Iqama. Give me your email. I'll email you all. Inshallah.
The next question I'd like to ask concerning the event. Prophet Muhammad Summa Sarah, Abu Bakr Brother Lagwan, and Summa Brother Lagwan, that's one event.
Where?
Juma.
Okay.
The Prophet Summa Sarah said that when the event is called, the angels come to the Masjid and assemble at the door, and they start to take the names of the people who come.
Correct.
The first who come gets the reward, always the last gets the reward.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what I told you before, we have to take all the hadith of one subject. Now we have the hadith of the angels who said by the Adhan. Okay? But it is not by the Adhan, by the way, because the Adhan on Yom al-Jum'ah is only called when the Imam climbed the minbar and says Assalamu alaikum. Here in this hadith, the angels were mentioned. And when they are mentioned, not to register, but to follow the records. meaning they are not going to register no one. Finish. When the Imam climbed the member, the angels will fold their records. Their registration of people coming would not begin by the Adhan. It would begin as in the other hadith, in Sa'at al-Ula, in Ja'a Sa'at al-Ula, in Sa'at al-Ten, the first hour, the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour, like that. As Isa said, he who come in the first hour would be given a reward like donating a camel as a charity. The second as a cow, the third as a sheep, the fourth as a chicken, the fifth as an egg, and then no more. Right. The second Adhan, or the first Adhan, as you said, it wasn't at the time of Rasulullah, it wasn't at the time of Abu Bakr, it wasn't at the time of Umar, but it was at the time of Uthman, and not from the beginning. After a number of years, Uthman radiallahu anhu found that it is better to call one Adhan. And by the way, this Adhan is not in the masjid. He assigned a man to call the Adhan in the market. Because the people will get busy, and in that day they need to do some preparation like showering, changing the clothes, and then they continue walking, forgetting the time. They did not used to have watches. So they would only know when the Muaddin is calling. So, oh, it's time now. Exactly like what happened to Uthman himself when Umar was the Khalifa and was giving the khutbah. Uthman just came into the masjid while Umar giving the khutbah. He asked him, Uthman, you are late. He said, well, it is only when I came back from my walk and I just did the wudu and I joined. He said, wudu only? But Uthman did wudu only because there was no time. So Uthman in his time, people got more involved in business, and Friday wasn't a day off like it today. So people were involved in their business. So he, Uthman, assigned someone in the market to call the Adhan. This Adhan is a way of alerting people to go and prepare. And he took it from the same understanding of the Adhan of Bilal, which is at night, it's not for Fajr. Bilal used to call the Adhan pre to Fajr time. So he took it from that day. And Rasulullah assigned Bilal to get, for people to get prepared. So Uthman assigned this man to call before Jum'ah to get people prepared. Now, one can say, but this is not hadith from Rasulullah. It wasn't happened during Rasulullah time, Abu Bakr, Umar time. Say yes, but Uthman is one of the four people who Rasulullah told us to take the sunnah from him, or from these four people, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. And Uthman is one of them, so it is sunnah. No. But in regard to the angels, no, the angels do not register by the Adhan, but they stop by the Adhan, which is the in the masjid, the Adhan, or when the Imam climbs the minbar, they stop registering.
And second follow-up question. In reference to, you said that Uthman,
it will be correct to do one of that. Because when we say one of that, we are going back, as you said, to the time of Rasulullah, Abu Bakr and Umar. No mistake in that, no wrong. But when we need, we can use the second Adhan because we have sunnah of Uthman. Because Uthman has done it after a while from his Khilafah on a purpose that the people get more involved in business and, you know, they cannot even get ready or something like that. So when we have a need for it, we will go for it. Allah Alam. Here we have some different questions from the inshallah. This is difficult for me to. هذا ولا هذا؟ Well, here is a question. Say, what is the ulama say? What does the ulama say about traveling to, yeah, name countries but no need, Western countries? where the airports are when a body scanners. Well, I have gone through this experience, and brother was with me. Some brother is with me. We raised this question to Sheikh Rasulullah Abbas, Hafidha Allah, Prophet Rasulullah Abbas, and his house. We were along Abu Imran, Zulfiqar, and I were in his house, and we asked him about this question, and on behalf of many people who may need to travel to the West. And he said, it is okay if there is a need for it. Yani, for example, someone whose parents are there and he can only be dutiful to them if he goes there and yani, stay with them, then it is yani, permissible. And what can you do? This is something yani, beyond his capability. Yani. Now, that's it. The other part is personal. I don't want to mention it. And Allah, what is this question? So if there is a need for going to the West, what can you do? Allah musta'an. And as we told that it is only image that they don't capture, Allah musta'an. But going to there, and with this or without, if there are many, you know, many things which are wrong, but yani, not only this thing, many things. But if it is a need, Allah knows that. Now.
I read one of the matter, the Isha prayer, the day must. But the Isha prayer today, and it says, then there is Isha prayer. Today he said it is not allowed, like some modern prayer is not counted as a prayer. Why do Qadha of the modern prayer?
Now, if this was done based on a fatwa or an opinion of scholars, now you don't need to redo it. But if it is based upon your own decision, yes, because you have no ability to do the ijtihad. If you are one of those people who have the ability to do the ijtihad, then yes. But if you, your own self, do the ijtihad and pray the prayer in yani, as to the opinion of some of the scholars outside the time of it, then you will have to, or with the intention different from the imam, then you will have to do it, to make it again. This is based on if Faisal, the guy is not here today, please forget it. This if this has been done on your own ijtihad. But if it is based on, as I said, there are many different opinions. If you hear one opinion and go with it, and you don't need to redo the salah because you did your best. And Allah Ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. نعم. You enter the masjid when the imam says salam alaikum. Okay. Right. The jama'ah. Oh, you mean in the jum'ah? La. As the brother told you in the hadith, the angel sits by the gates. If you did not enter, even the egg, you missed it. You missed even the egg. If the imam says, Salaamu Alaikum, just before you enter, alas. Now, if this delay was not upon your own, upon your decision or willing, you were coming early, but for some reason, you become late. Huh? Traffic, zahma, there was accident, yani, checkpoint, whatsoever, your car broke down, then Allah will give you the reward of the camel if you intended to come early. As the Prophet ﷺ said when he was coming from Tabuk, he said to the Sahaba who were with him in the battle of Tabuk, he said, there are people in Medina, they did not join you in this journey, but they are getting the same reward of the best of you, same reward as of you, because they had the intention to go out, but they were not able to. So Allah Ta'ala will give them same reward for their good intention. But if someone just sleep on Friday, awake late, you know, he decides to do that. He awake early, but he enjoys sitting or catch time. There is time. And then he comes out when there is no time left. He comes by the masjid when the Imam says, Salaam Alaikum. Like me, I delay. Usually 7 minutes, 10 minutes, I come later than the time supposed the khutbah to begin, giving the people chance. And sometimes I come, I see one man walking, I stand outside, let him go get it. But unfortunately, yet we see half of the masjid empty. When the prayer finished, I look, full, mashallah, the masjid is full. Where were the half, the other half? And believe me, most of them same faces. Most of them same faces. Every Friday, they are coming there. These people, I don't think, Allah alam, but I don't think they will get the reward of it. Allah alam. السلام عليكم. أنا بالدرس أتصلني. نعم. Yeah, this supports it. This as well supports it. Nah, I'm alive.
Another question. If the child hasn't reached the age of 13, however he memorized all of that, he doesn't know the meaning of the prayer. He makes a mistake of prayer, after his match of prayer, he's the only one who requires more time.
The Prophet ﷺ set up the conditions of the imam, or the conditions for the imam. He said, first of all, memorizing Quran. If they are equal in memorizing Quran, then the one who has more knowledge of the Sunnah. So if he memorizes more Quran, not necessarily whole Quran, but more Quran than all the men behind him, he has the right to lead the prayer. If he knows how to pray, not what to do if there is something happening in the prayer. Because if this is the condition, we will terminate around 70-80% of the imams. Believe me. An imam of a mosque outside this compound, he is a teacher of a Quran circle. One day I led Asr prayer here. I was late. I came, joined them after two rak'ah missed. And he led them. No, I missed. I came on the fourth rak'ah. Okay? On the third rak'ah, on the second rak'ah, he did not sit for the shahad. Okay? So he stood. People say, Subhanallah, passed the exam. Well, he did not sit back. Excellent. People stood. On the third rak'ah, he sat for tashahud. People said, Subhanallah, continued sitting for tashahud. People said, Subhanallah, he continued. Then he did the tashahud awal and stood. Then he brought the fourth rak'ah. There, I was with him. I did not know about this, what happened. After salah, at the end of the salah, he did sujood sahu. I stood to bring my three rak'ah. And the people started talking, blah, 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 in the masjid here, in my masjid. After Salah, they all came to me. The Shaykh is here, let's ask him. So they came to me. And I said, what happened is that? They said, this. I asked the brother, why did this? He said, because I missed it in the second rak'ah. I have to do it in the third rak'ah. I said, Subhanallah. This is an imam. Being imam in a masjid. In Jeddah, Quran teacher. How come? You know? This shows that he did not, I know him. He doesn't go to circles of seeking knowledge. So, if we go by this, criteria, you're gonna have all masajid empty. No imams. Because most of the imams, actually not this, I stood in many, many masajids here in Jeddah. Not only in the West, but even here in Jeddah. And I asked one simple question. Five things related to Salah. Conditions, pillars, obligations, optional things and actions, nullifiers. Which one will need sujood sahu, which one does not need? Which one sujood sahu can be sufficient, which one sujood sahu cannot be? Believe me, including the imam, no one gave an answer. Maybe imam knows one, other knows one, that's it. Although, look to the total. You have 9 conditions. 14 pillars. This is 23. 8 obligations. 31. Nawafil, unlimited, but let's say 10. Right? And then nullifiers 5. He could give me only one, and this is in one masjid only. This is in one masjid only. So, but as long as he knows how to pray, then this is enough. This is enough. If he memorizes more Quran than others, even if he is under the age of maturity, he is the one who needs the prayer. This is, if the mosque does not have an imam who is assigned by the ruler or the person who has the authority over this masjid. And in my masjid, I have one to help me, this brother who called the adhan today. And I say to him, when I am not here, you lead the prayer. And sometimes when I am here, I tell him to lead the prayer. Sometimes I know some people who has more Quran than him. But he leads the prayer because he's a son. He's a son. Now, Allahu A'lam. Khalas? One more? Fatma. Deaf doesn't hear? No. Deaf cannot lead the prayer. Handicapped who cannot stand cannot lead the prayer. Cannot lead the prayer as an imam. But if the imam who's normal, healthy, is sick and he came to lead the prayer and he found that he cannot continue standing and he sits, everybody has to sit behind him. That what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's kind of, all the ulama agree that the one who cannot stand at all, he cannot lead the prayer, even if he is alim, he cannot lead the prayer.
Someone is moving forward, then it should be the permission and the permission of the Muhammad.
Yes, of course, because when the Prophet ﷺ was late and one day was late in the place called Al-Ghaba in Medina, and the time for prayer came, in the Iqama, Bilal asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr didn't tell Bilal, call the Iqama and I will lead the prayer. Bilal asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, should I call the Iqama and you lead the prayer? He said yes. So it is the duty of the Muazzin. It is the duty of the Muazzin. Yes. It's either the Imam delegated to him, or if the Imam didn't delegate to no one, then the Muaddin has the right either to lead the prayer or to ask someone to lead the prayer. But if there is someone who's who has more Quran than the Muaddin, then the Muaddin must not lead the prayer but ask him, will you lead the prayer if we make the Imam? If he say no problem, then he leads the prayer. He let him lead the prayer. If he say no, and he doesn't see anyone who can be as better than the Muaddin, then the Muaddin leads the prayer. But in most of the masajid today, and it is from the, as I understand from the government, that if the Muaddin is absent, then if the Imam is absent, then the Muaddin is the one who leads the prayer. To stop many of these nonsense, some people come say, no, I will lead some, and some fight. So to stop all this, as I understand that the government says that if the Imam is absent, then the Muaddin leads the prayer. Now, in this case, you better lead the prayer because they did not ask you, except that they expect that you have more Quran than them, and then you better lead the prayer. Because since that thing happened to me where I told you that a man, I was told lead the prayer, but I saw this man, I said no, you lead the prayer. He did not hesitate. He just jumped in. I said, somebody who is eager to do it must be someone who is, alhamdulillah, talibul ilm. And then Allah musta'an. He's not even a taxi driver. Now, as we said, that if the people of authority, Muslim ruler, or in the West, the authority of the masjid, assign the position of imam to a certain person, no one has the right to lead the prayer except with the permission of this person. Even if there is one who has more Quran, more knowledge than him.
Agreed.
Why? It's not, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that, but the ulama understand that this is the duty of the ruler. So the ruler said, or the person of authority said, we want this person. Now, it used to be, and it used to be Abu Musab here, but for some reasons, people started jumping in the position of Imam whenever the Imam is not there. As you said, you come and you don't know who has more Quran than the other. And as I told you, when I led that man, led the prayer, he was so bad in recitation, not voice, in recitation. To change the meanings in some times. And this will annoy everyone behind him. So in this case, for this reason and for others, which, yani, many problems. Yes? No, no time to run by. Just pray, inshallah. They were, no, no, outside, and outside they're going to close now. Inshallah. So as I told you, so to get rid of these problems, the government says, we organize it this way. The Imam is this man. If the Imam is absent, you, the Muaddin, will have. And they have conditions on the Muaddin. The Muaddin must be memorizing certain juz of Quran and this, they examine him for this kind of purposes. Just to avoid the, you know, the fightings and, you know, in the masjid. And as one of the ulama said, or as Ali ibn Abi Talib said, one time the Khawarij asked Ali, why you are not like your two friends, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar? He said, well, the answer is very simple. He said, well, it is because Abu Bakr and Umar, they were rulers and their people were me and the like of me. But I, as a ruler, have people who are like you, object every command. So that's the problem. Today, why the government here in Saudi Arabia said that the Muaddin, because the people do not respect the position of Imam anymore. And even the Imam who is assigned, believe me, in many masajid is disrespected. People start cursing him, criticizing him, you know. That's why the government said, no, no, no. All this nonsense will stop. The Imam and the Muaddin must be a person who is qualified to be also Imam, not only Muaddin. So when the Imam is absent, then the Muaddin needs a prayer. Just to avoid this kind of problems. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.